we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. We are back in the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on this great radio station. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. And we're going to be spending the next half hour. This may be the only place in Brevard County right now where the topic of faithfulness is going to be the premier subject of the day. And I hope that this program is being a blessing to you. We want to thank those of you who listen. Without you, we would have no reason to be here. This is not about exercising my vocal cords or filling up a schedule that is already too busy. This is about bringing the Word of God and encouraging those who are living and serving here in Brevard County to keep up the good work. And so thank you. You all are God's hands extended. You are divinely appointed and placed for such a time as this, just as Esther was. And so I want to thank you, whether you're from the southern end of the county or the northern end of the county, or maybe on up into Volusia County. I received a message the other day that said, I'm driving to Volusia County and I'm listening to you right now on the radio. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know it reached up that far. And so you just never know what God is going to be able to do in you and through you. If you had asked me if I ever thought I would have been here doing this, I would have told you no. But God had other plans, and when the opportunity was presented to us, we prayed about it, felt like the Lord wanted us to say yes. And so here we are, and I want to encourage you to live by that same philosophy, that if God opens up a door for you, that you pray about it, and then if you feel that he is saying yes, go ahead and do it. You do not know what the results of that step of faith is going to be. The greatest reward for me doing this program is knowing that there are multitudes of people whose eternal destination has been changed because of what God does here on this radio program. So thank you to everyone who listens. It is an encouragement whenever I get to meet with you or talk with you. And so we say thank you, God bless you, and keep up the good work. We want to invite you out this week to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. If you do not have a church home, if you do have a church home, we want to encourage you to be faithful, to attend, to support, and to serve in that local church. We need one another, and I encourage you to stay true to where God has placed you. I know this, not everyone is going to be divinely placed at Merritt Assembly of God. That's just the reality of it. There are different personalities, different preferences, but for those who are placed at Merritt Assembly of God, we are extremely grateful and thankful for that. So with that being said, let's get into the Word of God today. We are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and the purpose of the description of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is to give us the ability to assess whether we are truly abiding in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is producing that fruit in us. So as we are looking at the different applications and implications of faithfulness, if you see an area that you could use some improvement in, ask the Holy Spirit to make those changes in your heart and in your life. So today we're going to begin talking about a related topic, and that is faithful to serve. Jesus does not save us so that we can be observers and bystanders and spectators in the kingdom. He redeems us so that we can be his hands and feet extended, so that we can be his vocal cords to speak the words of truth and words of life into a community. So Ephesians chapter 6 today, let's look at verse number 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Paul writes here in verse number 21, the reason that he was sending this beloved brother, Tychicus, was so that the church in Ephesus would know how things were going with him. If I can just begin today's broadcast, this broadens out a little bit beyond the concept of faithfulness. But one of the things that I tend to observe in our modern society is that we tend to keep people at a distance. We are connected via social media, electronic media, and all of those sorts of things. But there is from what I have studied, there is a greater degree of isolation and loneliness in this current society that we live in than ever before in the history of mankind. Now you can be connected with people halfway across the globe, but be disconnected from your family or from your neighbors that are right next door. And a lot of times that is by choice. We have made our homes just absolute palaces that have every amenity that you could ever want. There are people who have, you know, if I can use this term, I don't mean it in a literal sense, I don't think, but, you know, it may be true as well. There are people who no longer need to go out to watch sporting events because they have their own sports complex right there in their house. Society wants to call it a man cave. Some people, you know, create in their own little arena, their very own little sports bar there, where they've got all sorts of televisions. They can watch 47 different sporting events at the same time and never have to leave their house. There are people who have home theaters set up, so you never have to go out. You know, you can now have your groceries delivered to your house. You don't even have to go outside to meet people at the grocery store. There is an increase in online shopping, and what happens is we end up becoming more and more isolated, and many times that's by choice. That even crosses over into the church realm, and what happens many times is that people do not want other people knowing what is going on in their lives. Now, I share a lot of pertinent information here on the radio broadcast, and you know, I want you to understand that we are real people. We go through real issues. There are some challenges that we face from time to time that we may not share all of the specifics, but I have this philosophy that when I'm in a spiritual warfare, I want to use every weapon in the arsenal. You know, in the military, if you have weapons that to be used, but there are limited quantities of those. My God is an inexhaustible resource, so I want every believer praying. I want every believer out there being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm of the mindset, I want as many people engaged in this battle as we possibly can. Israel, when they were taking possession of the Promised Land, they made a mistake of looking at the village of Ai and said, you know what, we're not going to need that many people to go and do this battle. And they sent a limited source. What they didn't realize was that there was sin in the camp, and that limited resource came back a defeated foe. So what my challenge is for you is I would like to encourage you to step up to where there are people that you can share your life with, share your victories with, share your challenges with, that you are not isolated. A little over a week ago, I was preaching at a church. I was invited to speak. And one of the things that God had told me is, as I was reliving that message after I'd preached it, was how vital it is for the body of Christ to be connected. We need to be able to rally to the sound of the trumpet, if you will, as it's described in the scripture, you know, if one group was under attack, the other group would rally to support them. And, you know, you and I, we are not created to be going through life all by ourselves. And so Paul said, so that this church in Ephesus knows everything that I am going through, I am sending you a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord who will make all things known to you. Okay, so the understanding of faithfulness here is that Tychicus was a faithful servant. A faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That, you see, we put fancy labels on it. It's got the word minister there, but the word minister literally means to serve. That's what we are called to do. And so I am not here to do this program so that I become detached from people. I responded to God's invitation to minister so that I could serve. That's what an elected official is supposed to be. The official title are civil servants, that they are people who serve society. And I am called to be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that I minister to him and on his behalf. I'm not here to promote my agenda. I am here to serve at his request in whatever capacity he wants me to serve so that he is glorified. Last year, I was asked to serve at a specific event. And so I said I would be honored to serve at that particular event. And there were a lot of things involved in that, none of which were glorious. None of them were grand staging or anything like that. To a great deal, it was serving behind the scenes. You see, a servant, a faithful servant, isn't concerned about drawing attention to themselves as they are bringing glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Tychicus was identified by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as a faithful minister in the Lord who would make things known to people. It says, I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. So we are servants, not just with information, but for the betterment of those that are receiving the service that we are providing. So we had a discussion in one of our board meetings last year. We were discussing something. It wasn't anything monumental or anything. It was just a discussion. And I like to operate from the position of consensus. And so as we were discussing this particular item on the agenda, I said, I want you all to understand, I'm not asking this question out of whether or not it is convenient or easier for me. That is not the question. The question is, do you believe that this is a service that is going to benefit the body? Is this going to be something that is going to is it just going to be a time waster, or is it something that is going to serve this church community? And it turned out that it was a service, and we were glad that we did it. But servants are not concerned about their own comfort. It is about what is beneficial. Now, with that concept in mind, you can take that truth and move over to 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to begin reading for you out of verse number 8. And it says there, "But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Verse number 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Here, Paul begins to write to Timothy, who is a young pastor. He was his spiritual son in the Lord, and he is encouraging him in his position. I believe that you and I ought to realize that the church is not about a single generation, but about multiple generations. Timothy did not come from the background that Paul did. He had a family history. You know, faith dwelt in his grandmother and in his mother, and now in him. But Paul was his spiritual father. And so he was writing to equip and encourage him to be successful. And he says to him, I need you to understand the purpose of the law, that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. There are a lot of laws that are on the books that if they're not enforced, it doesn't matter how many laws you have on the books if you're not going to enforce them. So, you and I, we don't want to be negligent of our responsibilities and our duties. He says that the law is not made for righteous people. In other words, it is not made to cause good people to be found in violation. I've been told that there are so many laws on the books that if they wanted to find you and I in violation of a law, that just about everybody would be in violation of something. That's how complex the laws, the ordinances, and statutes are, that you and I, you know, we may have, you know, parted our hair in the wrong place or something like that. You know, every year there's these articles that come up at the end of the year or the first of the year about these crazy laws that are on the books. One of my favorite ones that I ever ran across was from the old days, where if a person was driving a horseless carriage down the road and he came across a barnyard animal that was in the road, that he had to stop his car in the middle of the road and until the animal left. And if he didn't have to do it, he had to start disassembling his vehicle until the animal left. You know, I don't think you're going to see that enforced that much anymore. It says that the law was made for the following groups of people. And you can read it and you can see that the law was made so that these people would realize that they were in violation of the law. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands about how many people who you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you see a police officer or a sheriff's deputy vehicle, and all of a sudden your right foot comes off of the accelerator because without looking at your speedometer, you already know that you are going faster than what the law is recommending that you go. And you just don't really want to have a conversation with that person. So the speed limit sign is there to let you know what the speed limit is so that you don't exceed that. That's the purpose of the law. And so it begins to describe here, but for the lawless and insubordinate. By the way, I will just point out that over the last decade, I have never heard the word lawlessness used as much in non-church circles as I have in the past decade. Lawlessness is something we encounter in the spiritual realm a lot, but it is now manifesting in our society. I want you to understand that that is what anarchy is. Anarchy is where people disregard the law and they do what is right in their own eyes. You and I don't want that. You don't want that because when anarchy rules, the person with the most influence, the biggest guns, the most strength, that's the person who ends up leading that society. You want there to be order in place. You do not want chaos and disorder. I don't care what anybody tells you. You don't want lawlessness. God is not a God who blesses lawlessness. He corrects it. So if anybody tells you that the law was Old Testament and it is no longer applied, you need to read your Bible again, because there has been the law of the Spirit is now in place. There are things that are still called into correction because of the moving of the Spirit, the new covenant, where God says, this is what I require of you, this is what I want from you, this is how you please me. So it says, the law was made for the lawless and the insubordinate, those things who are out of order. It is made for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and the profane. That means which is common instead of set apart. It talks about for murderers and for manslayers. So those people who do not value life or other people's lives. For fornicators and for sodomites. And so you see that there is the sexual issues that God has put in his word, which is settled forever in heaven and on earth. It's not ever going to change. That God does have parameters set around that compartment of our makeup. It says for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And so kidnappers are people who would come and they would either try and manipulate or appropriate that which belongs to someone else. For liars, for perjurers, you and I, we need to understand that the devil is a liar. He's the father of it. And Jesus comes. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. So there is no deception in him. And it says, and if there is anything contrary to sound doctrine. So when you see that list, what Paul is saying is that these things are contrary to the sound doctrine, and it's not an exhaustive list. It is a starter list, if you will. These are things that should be easily recognized as not being beneficial to the church and the body of Christ at large. Okay? Now, when you hear the word doctrine, it's going to make a lot of people nervous. But I want you to understand that doctrine is simply teaching the Word of God. It's simply teaching the Word of God. That's what it is. Dogma is the teaching of man. And so you will have a lot of dogmatic people wanting you to come in alignment with what they say. You know what? there are things that I believe about the scriptures. I'm very comfortable in what I believe. I am confident in what I believe. I believe that the scripture supports those things. If there are things in the word that don't line up with what I believe, I change what I believe, not change the word to make it fit what I believe. And so dogma is scary. Doctrine is not. And so if I can, I just want to invite you out. If you are not sitting in a regular, intensive Bible study or Sunday school class or discipleship class, get involved in one. I'm not even saying at Merit Assembly of God. Get involved in one at your church, because you and I need to become better students of the Word of God. He says all of that is where I am, and he says I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So there's the connection with Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul could say, I'm sending Eutychus, a faithful minister and a beloved brother, because he knew what it was like to be considered faithful and put into the ministry, positioned to serve. Now, I want to tell you this. I am much more concerned about a person's faithfulness than I am their giftedness. You may have heard me say that before, but I am much more concerned about it, about their faithfulness, than I am their giftedness. Paul was writing this to Timothy about all of those lawless situations, and then he went on to say this, look, I was a blasphemer, I was insolent, I was a persecutor, but I obtained mercy because I did it in unbelief. He didn't understand the reality. He was kicking against the direction and the prodding of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was unaware of it. But when he was made aware of it, he brought his life into alignment with God's will, asked him for forgiveness, received a miraculous healing, was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and accomplished great things. He said, you know what? God counted me faithful. Today, I want to address one last thing as we wind down this program today. Be concerned about what God thinks about you more than you are concerned about what people think about you. Consider the audience. Consider if people are criticizing you and ridiculing you, consider their source. Are they doing it to edify you, or are they doing it to tear you down? I want to be counted faithful before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to as well. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.